Modern Smicha today. Let's do it. Okay, so we're going to start with the Tosfos on the bottom of Hamad Aleph. Right. Brief reminder. So we've got the story. My computer's got to turn on. Actually, I don't need this. We have the story in the Gemara, right? Rabba Bar, in our version, Rabba Bar of Huna is arguing with the Beit Reish Galusa, and he's saying, I didn't get my Rishus from you, right? The Rishus which we saw, the Rishus of the Reish Galusa, which gives indemnification to the judges. He says, I got it from my father. My father got it from Rav. Rav got it from Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia got it from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So if you look at the Tosos, the kit and the Rishus and the Abamari, but Abamari may Rav. So Tosos say, Pirish, Abamari, not all Rishus may Rav, right? So my father got, meaning every person got Rishus. So I got Rishus from my father got Rishus from Rav all the way down the line. So the conclusion you get from the Gemara is, Demisha Yishal Rishus, Yachol Itain Rishus, right? Anybody who's gotten Rishus can give Rishus, right? Now we know that this is the case with Smicha, obviously, right? Anybody who gets real smicha is able to give it over. That's the whole point of the institution. So Tosfos say, if you read the Gemara, it seems like the same is true when it comes to Rishus, right? And it seems like, one, we know this is comparable to the Rishus of the Reish Galusa, right? Because he's fighting with the Reish Galusa. But also, what's the story of Rabbi Chia to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? That was the Yore Yore, Yadin Yadin, Yatir Yatir story, right? And then the Gemara asked, well, why do you need to have this in the first place, right? What's the point of the yore, right? And then we had seen last time people who asked, well, what do you mean, what's the point? The point could just be indemnification in cases of financial, malpractice in yore yore. So we had our answers to that, but the bottom line is that for Tosfos, this all seems to be one sugya, right? One concept of rishus. The Rishus of the Reish Galusa is being compared to the Rishus of the Yore Yore, and that this can all be given father to son in our case, but Rebbe to Talmud, just like real Smicha, right? And then Tosfos say, Ki inyan shematzinu in Yudgimel Amud Beis, l'inyan dine kenasos, right? By real Smicha, which allows you to judge kenasos. Anybody who gets smicha is able to give it. Right, that's what it was called in the Gemara over there.
Right,
the famous story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who martyrs himself in order to give smicha to the next generation. Right, and the whole idea is that since he now has given over that smicha to the next generation, even though he was killed in the act, right, they're able to escape, and then you have people who are able to continue the chain of smicha. So it's crystal clear. Nobody argues that real smicha can be given, is given teacher to student, and once you've gotten it, you can give it over. Right, so if not for Yehuda ben Bava's sacrifice, we would have lost the ability to judge kenasas, we would have lost real smicha, which we ended up losing, but for another long time. Right, so the problem is, wait a second, how does the Gemara really hold together? If the argument we're making, which seems to be pretty reasonable based on our Gemara, is that anybody who's gotten Rishus can give Rishus. So since Rabbi Chia had already gotten Rishus from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, in fact, Rabbi Chia got real smicha from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, so why does Rabbi Chia need to go to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and say, hey, can you give Rishus to Rav and to Rabba Bar Chana? Right? Why can't Rabbi Chia just do it independently? Now that he's gotten this Rishus, which Tosfos are comparing to real smicha, he should be able to give it. So the answer to that, they're going to say, is...
Right,
Ella Rebbe. So very simple, right? Rebbe Chia, where was he? Clearly he's with Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. They're talking together. And even if you've gotten Rishus and you're able to give it independently, you may not do that when you are in your own Rebbe's city, right? If you're in the town of the Rav, so he's the only one who can give the Rishus, and that cannot be given by anybody else, only the Mar Da'asra. Aval finished Tosfos very strongly. Ein Svara Lomar de Rabba Bar Huna Haya Bimei Rebbe. Right. So what's the point that they're making right here? They're saying, don't tell me that the story, the first story in the Gemara, the Rabba Bar. Here they have it as Rabba Bar Huna, right? Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Our Gemara is Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Don't tell me that Rabba Bar Huna was also in the generation of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and that therefore he was not really getting a shus from his teacher, got from his teacher, got from his teacher, but you know that you would have said he got really his rishus from Yehuda HaNasi basically directly. To us to say there's no way that that's the case. Fine. So according to Tosus, it's pretty clear that we're based on the institution of Yora Yora is based off of smicha of old, and therefore once it's given to somebody, that person now has the status of, you know, you want to say a junior samach, you want to say they have a status of somebody who has rishus, but it's not just, you know, some sort of permission slip. The person now has a personal status, and you can tell that because they can now invest that status in other people, right? The way you'd probably explain it most simply is, obviously this institution is an invention of the Rabbanan, but you'd say, kol detikun Rabbanan ke'in de'oraisa tikun, right? It was a Rabbanan decree which was based off of a previous de'oraisa concept. You have the de'oraisa concept of smicha, and now along come the Rabbanan and Ham and Bez, right? After we had that whole story of the fiasco with the student who told them that they could use egg juice and they thought it was swamp water. So once the Rabbanan said, okay, you know, we've got to take a stand here. We're going to create an institution of Yore Yore, right, where we make sure that the students are capable poskin before we let them go out and poskin. So they didn't just make that out of thin air. They based that decree on the previous institution, actually the ongoing institution, right? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is the one who creates this institution of Yore Yore. So we know that Smicha is still ongoing at the time. So they're instituting basically a parallel track, right? We still have real smicha. We're also creating a track of Yore Yore, which is based off of the same concept, right? It could be, it's different, but conceptually it's modeled, it's patterned after it. That seems to be pretty clear what Tosfos are saying. Now, this could help you, possibly. I said last time we'd see what, I thought Roy Rosenzweig wanted to say about the top Tosfos and Yemid Beis. Right, this what we had seen last time, just a quick reminder, right, the Gemara had wondered, or the Rishonim had all asked, why did the Gemara say, what's the point of receiving this Yore Yore? And the Rishonim all asked, well, what do you mean? Now that the person's got Rishus to adjudicate cases of Iser Beheter, so now in the event that the person makes a mistake and causes the person serious financial loss. So now the person had rishus, so they'll be able to get off, just like they're able to get off for yadin yadin. And what was the answer that Tosos gave? Tosos said, oh, well, once the person has rishus for regular able yadin yadin, right, the regular rishus of being able to judge cases, so presumably that's also going to cover him for yore yore. And the question that jumps off, and Tosos Harash asks us, he says it makes no sense, is, why would you say that, right? Why can't you have somebody who's an expert in one area of law and not an expert in another area of law? So the two basic the answer we gave last time was that you'd simply say we presume if the person is such as thoroughly mastered yadin yadin, so we can presume that the person's also seen Yoredeya, right? Nobody knows Chosh and Mishpat backward and forward and never bothered to pick up a different chelek of Shulchan Aruch. It's just like a regular umdana. Could be. It's not so compelling, and that's why you understand why Tosfos HaRash gets upset. The idea that that Rabbi Rosenzweig proposed was that we know we have halacha for real smicha, that you have to be a master of Chol Torah Kula, right? You have to be eligible to paskin in all areas of halacha, and then once you've got that that basic foundation, so then the person who's giving smicha can give it in whatever area he wants. Right? The Rambam says this explicitly. So even though the person's never mastered everything, I could say I'm only going to give you smicha for area X of halacha. Right, we see this happen in the Gemara on Hamad Beis, right? What was the story with Rav and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? Rav was a master of everything, right? He had spent those 18 months on the farm learning how to tell the difference between different mumin in the Bechor, right? This one, even though it looks really bad, it turns out it's only a temporary mum, and therefore the Bechor is ineligible. This one, even though it doesn't look like it's a big deal, it's actually a mum that's never going to go away, therefore the Bechor is eligible, right? So Rav had really mastered this this area of halacha thoroughly, right? Better than anybody else, because nobody else is spending 18 months on a farm. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did not give him permission to paskin Bechoros, right? And we had the two reasons given by the Gemara, either because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wanted to give compensatory kavod to Rabba Bar Chana, right? He doesn't want it to be overshadowed by Rav, or because Rav was too great an expert and people would get confused by his kulas and end up issuing their own mistaken psakim. But anyway, you clearly see that you can give Rishus, right, to somebody that's more sharply tailored than their actual knowledge base. So perhaps you wanted to suggest that Tosos are working based off of their Shita and Hamad Aleph. You could say the Tosos think that if we're basing the institution of, you know, modern smicha on the institution of original smicha, so you could say, well, this person needs to master all of, be a baki in all areas of halacha. And therefore, once he's a baki in all areas of halacha, it's very reasonable for Tosas and Hamad Beis to come along and say that once the person has gotten reshus in yore yore, in yadin yadin, presumably the person is also an expert in yore yore.
Like the other way.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If he has yore yore, then he has yadin yadin.
You could.
Okay.
You could. But this is just him trying to explain the question that the Tos themselves had, right? The Gemara said, what's the point of the Yore Yore once you have Yadin Yadin? Everybody asks, well, what do you mean? It's to get financial indemnification for Yore Yore. And the answer the Tos had was, well, once you've got one, presumably you also are have it in the other. And the question was, like, why? So
going both ways.
Exactly. In other words, once you've gotten permission in one area, unless, let's say, you explicitly don't get permission in a different area, we could have a mina, right? The Gemara rejects this have a mina, right? The Gemara says, no, at the end we say you have to have permission for every area to judge. But the Gemara's have a mina was that once I have Rishus and Yadin Yadin, that means I know everything, and therefore I have Rishus and Yore Yore as well. Then along came the Gemara, and the Gemara said, no, right, because of the Maisa Shahaya, we have to be very careful, and unless you get permission in every point, that's not going to work for you. Okay?
Can one assume that in Yod Yod also is now a story similar to this, that will might arise?
Theoretically, sure. Yeah, that's just not what the Gemara's question was.
Yeah.
And we're only dealing within the Havmina of the Gemara. So, but you know, theoretically, you could have had the other case too. Just the Gemara never would have asked, what's the point of Yadin Yadin? Because that's what the original Rishus was, right? The original Rishus of the Reish Galusa was given for...
suppose someone's not interested in insurance for his money. But still, the Gemara, once the Gemara answers this, you couldn't think it could construct another case.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. Person's got to be an interesting risk taker. I don't know why you want to do that, but
no
reason it couldn't be. All right. Okay. So that's the position of Tosos, and with our version of the Gemara, it works really well, right? It really does seem like Rabba Bar of Huna got permission from Rav Huna, got permission from Rav, got permission from Rabbi Chiya, got permission from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right? And this is like three. Rav Huna is the second generation of Amoraim, so Rabba Bar of Huna is the third generation of Amoraim. So he's living three generations after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he's still drawing on his Yore Yore from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So it seems to be pretty a pretty solid read of the Gemara, especially when you couple it with the Kol D'Tikun Rabbanu K'Daraisa Tikun idea. Makes sense. And when you couple it also with that last part of the Gemara we saw at the very end Wednesday night, I rushed it and I probably shouldn't have, right? Where we had that case where Rabbi Yochanan was giving the the Rishus to Rabbi, his student, Rabbi, what was his name? Rav Shaman, right? And we know that on Yud Gimel, Rabbi Yochanan says, I wish Rav Shaman would show up back in Israel so I could give him real smicha. So it seems, if you put the two Gemaras together, that what Rabbi Yochanan is doing is he's saying, look, I'm giving you the facsimile until you show up in Eretz Yisrael, and then I'll give you the real thing. Right? Because Rabbi Yochanan here tells him, you have our reshus until you come to Eretz Yisrael. So you could read that pretty clearly as saying, I'm giving you modern smicha, junior smicha. And then when you show up in Israel, and based on the halachos of smicha, I can give you the real McCoy. So all those are kind of pointing in that direction. But we know, right, the Rivash in a really famous tshuva takes this whole concept head on. So I don't know, you probably didn't read like the previous three tshuvas in the book, but in here. But it's funny to read, because there's a lot of like very flowery rabbinic polemic going on, and it's hard to like translate every word, but you don't have to, because you just get the point of what they're saying. So the Gadol Hador in Ashkenaz at the time is Rav Meir ben Baruch Halevi at the time of Vienna. He's always called Maharam Halevi because they don't want to confuse him with the other Rav Meir ben Baruch, right, who was the Maharam of Rothenburg, right? So after the Black Death and after all the massacres that happened, 1298, you've got the Rheinfleisch massacres, in the 1300s, you've got the Armleden massacres, you've got various other massacres going on in Germany. It's a disastrous, disastrous century. After the Black Death, where they all accused the Jews of poisoning the wells, so on top of the decimation of the communities from the plague, you've got more massacres going on. You've got expulsions from various cities. This is the century when the Jews start to move east, right? When Polish Jewry starts to take root. But meanwhile, in the lands of France and Germany, they are under unprecedented pressure and duress. So part of the problem that you have is that the institutions of leadership are decimated, and that means you've got people who are not qualified to be leading, who are kind of taking charge by default. So originally, what they thought was that Maharam Halevi created this institution of smicha, right? That basically, in order to get to have permission to do various things, you've got to get a license from Maharam Halevi in Vienna. So now, even in Tashma said it in the Encyclopedia Judaica article, and it's pretty clear. You can see from Artosos just that's not the case. But what he did do was he did have a serious innovation. So if you know you actually see some of the Rishonim quoted in the Ramah right here, right? All of a sudden, Rishonim always go by, right? You've got Rav Van, Rav Yah, Rabbeinu Tam, Rush. Right, all of a sudden, after like the mid 1300s, all of a sudden, what do all the Ashkenazi Rishonim get at the beginning of their name? They all get a mem. Right, all of a sudden, it's Maharil, Maharivail, Mahari Mintz, right, Mahari Bruna. Every Ashkenazi Rishon in like the going into the 1400s, Mahari Isserline, they all of a sudden become the Mahas. Right, they all get this mem in the beginning, and the mem stands for Moraine, right? So where does that come from? That's coming from I think it's clear. That's coming from the gzera of Maharam Halevi. I was thinking about this morning. I'm not sure. You got to like go through the records and see if it's true. But Maharam Meruttenberg. Maharam Meruttenberg is the only earlier Rishon who's given the mem, as far as I know. I wonder if you read like the Mordechai or the Hagas Hamunius, you read his early students, they always call him, they almost never call him Maram, they always call him Ram, right? They always call him Rav Meir. The Rush calls him Rav Meir. I wonder if you see him being called Maharam before you know the mid 1300s. I'm not sure. If so, it would just be because he was held up as like the, like the way that the Yemenites look at the Rambam is the way that in Ashkenaz they looked at the Maharam. He was just far and away the greatest of the great, especially after you know, after he dies, and you hear that he dies in prison, but after him, everything goes downhill in 5 years. So between his own personal legacy and the fact that there was nobody basically after him, right? The rush and the tour, they flee right after he dies because they know they'll be kidnapped next. So they flee to Spain. His other great student, the Mordechai, is killed in those Rheinfleisch massacres in 1298. And after that, there's basically a desert. But just going back to the story. So the Jews had been expelled from Paris, right? Various expulsions from France. They were thrown out. They were let back in. The Gemaras were burned. They were fine. They were thrown out again. So at some point in the later 1300s, they were allowed back in under the leadership of this Rabbi Matisyahu, or Matisya, I think. I don't think he's ever called Rabbi Matisyahu, who apparently was like a major Talmud Chacham and an extremely successful charismatic leader, developed a good relationship with the king of France, which is hard to do, and got him to allow them to establish reestablish a community in Paris, which was, you know, slowly starting to regain its footing and starting to thrive. He dies. His son, Rabbi Yochanan, I think his name was Rabbi Yochanan, right? I'm pretty sure his name was Yochanan. Maybe it's Yonasan, I don't remember exactly. But so his son takes over after his death. Seems like he's also a Talmud Chacham, but not as big an all-star as his father. But then Maram Halevi creates this institution of Moreinu, right? He sees that everywhere they've got unqualified leaders. So he says, right, in order to serve as a Rav, you have to get Rishus from me, because I am the unquestioned Gadol Hador, which it seems like nobody questions. And he gives this smicha, this Moreinu title, to one of his students. I forget his name. Look at that. Maybe even remember. Rabbi Yeshaya, right? So he gives, so Maram Halevi gives smicha to his student Rabbi Yeshaya, who apparently was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, "You now are. I'm giving you smicha to be the Rav of Paris, and anybody who gives a psak, anybody who writes a get." Without your permission, the get is going to be invalidated. You know, they don't have the right to paskin. Fine. So Rabbi Yeshaya shows up in Paris bearing this smicha from Maram Halevi, and you can imagine that Rabbi Yochanan, who has been there before, is obviously furious. Right? Who is this person to push me out? What right do you have? What right does Maram Halevi in Vienna have to say that I don't have smicha, or that I can't? Or that I can't write a get. So he writes letters to the Chachamim in Spain. Meanwhile, this is the 1390s. 1391 is the second most disastrous year in the history of Spanish Jewry. Right? You've got pogroms and massacres and forced conversions all over Spain. And one of those is the Rivash, who already this time is older. The Rivash has to flee to Algiers. The other great leader in Spain is Rav Chasdai Crescas. His son is killed in 1391, right, rather than convert. So Spain is kind of like recovering from their own disaster. Now they got this letter from Rabbi Yochanan, you know, crying out about what's going on in Paris. So he writes letters to Rav Chasdai Crescas, who's still in Spain, and he writes a letter to the Rivash, who now is in Algiers. So those are like the three tshuvas that are before Reish Ayin Aleph. Reish Samach Tes is a very short one sent from Rav Chasdai Crescas to the Rivash, saying like, you know, hey Rivash, we got a problem we got to deal with. Let's figure out what to do. And basically you take charge. Right? I'm handing this one off. I got my own problems to deal with. I'm handing this one off to you. So that's where the Rivash is coming to respond. And he is going to defend Rabbi Yochanan, and he's going to, again, he acknowledges the facts on the ground. The footnotes draw out that it seems like he understands that this Rabbi Yeshaya coming from Vienna is the greater scholar. And he also acknowledges, you know, very, very clearly that Maram Halevi of Vienna is the unquestioned Gadol Hador in Ashkenaz at the time. And yet, he says that he overstepped his bounds. There is no such halachic concept of this smicha that he is giving that allows him to say that anybody who doesn't have smicha from me can't paskin, can't write a get, etc. Right? The ironic, tragic postscript to the story is that like 1 year after the Rav Ash writes this tshuva, the king of Paris says, you know, Jews out. So right, ultimately it didn't really have practical ramifications, but it did because it gave us the classic tshuva of the Rav Ash on modern smicha. That's really the lasting impact of this tshuva. Even though it's like, you know, so oozing with history, the ramifications historically were like nil.
You're a history major.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah. And medieval Jewish history in Rome.
Cool.
So this stuff is a blast.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to read the whole thing because it's long. But so in the quotes, I gave like certain parts to draw out, and we'll focus on some of the parts in here. We have some time. Okay, so step one that the Rav Ash is going to make, right? He's going to say what is smicha nowadays, right? It's if you look just at the first line that I have here. Right, where he says, "Tchilas kol davar tzarach levayer, mazo smicha shenagu betzarfas uv Ashkenaz." Right. So, what's the clear implication of that? What is this smicha that they had this custom to do in Tzarfas and Ashkenaz?
Mm-hmm.
The implication is that, you know, we, the normal Sfardim, right? We, the people from Spain, have no idea what on earth these Ashkenazi people are doing. They got this weird thing that they do, and we here in Sfarad never heard of it. So, what on earth is this custom that they have? Right, and what do they do? Right, Shaharabanim nismachim v'hem somchem achem. Their custom is that they, the rabbanim, get smicha from their rabbanim, and then they, somchem achem, they give that smicha to their students. By the way, I think just if you read that one line carefully from Shenagu Betzarfas Uv Ashkenaz, it seems like the Rav Ash is aware that this is a long-standing Ashkenazi custom. It's not like it was just invented 2 years ago by the Maharam HaLevi. Maharam HaLevi just seriously added to what it is, and that's where the Rav Ash is going to step in. In other words, the Rav Ash is saying, Ashkenaz has had this institution...
I believe it was not the Rosh did this, Ben Rosh.
Did what?
I don't know. Take
the
track and
go
on.
Yes, sir.
The alarm will come out, it's up this.
Okay, great.
What's happening?
The alarm's going to go off.
We don't have to leave.
We don't have
it's
to.
It's always painful when it happens.
It's really loud.
It's so loud. I'm preparing.
Yeah. It doesn't last for so long. That's
hurts so much.
Yeah. All right, so let's fortify ourselves. So the Rav Ash says, right, so what on earth is this smicha that they had the custom to use, which clearly we in Sfarad did not. So that's his question, right? Because what could this smicha be? He says, I know of a couple of, kind of smichas that are in Shas. Number one, right, Sharei ha-smicha sh'ha'yaseh b'mei razal, right, the original real smicha. So what was that for? Ha'yaseh k'dei lidon dine nefashas v'dine kenasos, she'tzrichen mumchen, ritzon alomar smuchen, right, we talked about last time. Whenever they use mumcha, I never know if it's somebody who's just an expert or someone who has real smicha. But real smicha was clearly being used, was clearly given to adjudicate, you know, penalties, to adjudicate capital crimes. Then he's going to go on, we don't need to read it, right? He says, obviously, that's not what we have here, right? We know that, you know, the real smicha was ended long ago. We know that real smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, it goes without saying that the smicha that they use that they do in Ashkenaz is not real smicha, right? And then he's going to say, right, what about Reish Galusa, right? What about the Rishus of the Reish Galusa? Right, so first he says, right, so let's read this inside. Do you have it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. Linko Rishusa Merish Galusa. I think it's a different paragraph, but it doesn't look like it. You guys see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That isn't so bad.
Oh, it's so much louder upstairs.
The one in Bavar is terrible.
In the pantry with people. Okay, yeah, Biko Rishusa.
Yeah, so, right, so Linko Rishusa Merish Galusa Vizen Nohig Afilu Bechutzla Aretz. Right? We know that getting Rishus and Resh Galusa, oh, that did exist outside of Israel. So maybe the smicha of Ashkenaz is modeled off of the Rishus from the Resh Galusa. Right? So that, Eino Don Dine Kenasos, right? The Resh Galusa, so that wasn't real smicha. Right? That's the point he wants to make, is that real smicha is a standalone entity. There was never anything that was based off of real smicha. It was its own thing. So what was the reshus of the Reish Galusa? So skip down a little bit to the next paragraph. Aval inyan acher haya. Right, reshus of Reish Galusa was totally different from real smicha. Shelafisha rashe galia shababavel hein omdin b'makom melech. Right, so he's taking a stance on where the authority of the Reish Galusa comes from. It comes from, as we discussed, the various options. So he's taking the stance that it comes from his power as if he's a king. And therefore, they're able to give you indemnification for judicial mistakes, as he goes on to say, right? But this has nothing to do. Rishus of the Reish Galusa has nothing to do with real smicha, right? So now, remember, he's trying to figure out what is Ashkenazi smicha. So it's definitely point one. Ashkenazi smicha is not real smicha, right? Point number two. The Reish Galusa Rishus is also not based off of real smicha. So now, okay, well, is Ashkenazi smicha based off of Rishus from the Reish Galusa, right? So he's going to say about that. So v'im kena nomar, right? That's the next paragraph, right? So maybe we'll say shasmicha zo asher nagu b'tzarfa sub Ashkenaz, right? The smicha that they had the custom to do in Ashkenaz, he enatilas Rishus la dun b'kfia. So maybe the smicha in Ashkenaz is based off of the reshus of the Reish Galusa, the idea being that you can force people to come to submit to your judgment, and that you will be pater if you make a mistake. But says the Rivash, no. Gamze e efshar. Why? Why is that not possible? Shemkein hayatzarch shiit lo reshus. Imireish gola, sheish lakoch, lirdos, peshevet, bechol makom, etc., etc. Or from the Nasi of Eretz Yisrael. You can only get Reish Galusa Rishus from the Reish Galusa, or from the Nasi. But guess what? Vechol zeh, he says a little later, batel atav avanasenu, we don't have, and then it reads like a kinos, right? Ein lanu lo shevet, lo machokek, we don't have, there's no Reish Galusa running around in 1394, and there is no, or 1393, and there is no Nasi in Eretz Yisrael in 1393. There are basically no Jews in Eretz Yisrael in 1393. Right? So, there's no question that Ashkenazi smicha is not based off of the Reish Galusa smicha. Right? Then, just the first line of the next paragraph, where he says, Aval Shiyakum Rav Echad Umuv Hak, right? This is relating to the Maram Halevi. Right? So that the idea that one rabbi would step up, even though he's a master, right, he's a muvhak, v'yitin lo reshus la dun b'kfiya, v'shiyah pater imta, zet lo shamaname olam. We never heard of the idea that just because somebody is a rav, that gives him the authority to empower others to force others to submit to their judgment and to get financial indemnification, right? The only people who can give that are the Reish Galusa and the Nasi. Right? Not only can this master Rav not, you know, give others the malpractice insurance, but guess what? Maram Halevi, even though you're the Gadol Hador, forget about the fact that you can't give this Rabbi Yeshaya this Rishus, but guess what? I got bad news for you. If you yourself make a mistake in judgment, you're going to have to pay. Because you don't have real smicha, you don't have permission from the Reish Galusa, you don't have permission from the Nasi, all you are is a very serious Talmud Chacham, but being a serious Talmud Chacham does not Rishus make. Right? And then he proves it, Dilo Adif mi Mar Zutra, Breder of Nachman, right? Remember the story of Mar Zutra, the son of Rav Nachman, who made the mistake in the very top of Hamad Aleph, and he went to his father, and he said, hey, can I get off the hook? And Rav Nachman said, well, sorry, you didn't ask Rishus from the Reish Galusa. We said that was kind of surprising because Reish Galusa was his grandfather. But, you know, I told you to take care of that. You never filed the paperwork. So guess what? You're going to have to pay up. So argues the Rivash, look, if Mar Zitra, the son of the famous Rav Nachman, had to pay because he didn't get formal Rishus in the Reish Galusa, so surely Maram Halevi also doesn't have malpractice insurance and surely can't give malpractice insurance. Okay, right? So now, skip to the next paragraph, because now he's going to present the argument of Tosfos, right? V'chi tema, you have it?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you'll say, and now we have to read very carefully, because we're going to see what, you know, he's going to quote our Gemara on Daf Hei, and it's going to be different. V'chi tema ein tzarech litzol reshus mei Reish Galusa atzmo. Maybe you'll tell me you don't need to receive reshus from the Reish Galusa himself. Ela, kevan shenatal echad reshus mei Reish Galusa. Once one person receives permission from Reish Galusa, Yachol Hanotel Rishus, Litin Rishus La'acher, right? So now, I'm trying to think of an analogy. My dad's an immunologist, so he would say, compare it to an infected cell, right? And the infected cell is going to create more, but we don't want to use that analogy because, maybe the Rivash would, because he doesn't like the idea, but we're not going to. But so once you receive... What? I was just talking about once a cell gets infected with a virus and then the virus takes over the cell and uses it as a virus making factory, but
dominoes work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, doesn't matter. Bottom line is that we know what the idea would be. Once you got Rishus and Reish Galusa, you could give that to someone else. V'chein, right, second line, v'chein acher la'acher le'olam, right, and that could go on through all the generations, right, and how are you going to base that? What are you going to base that off of? Kidamrin and hasam. Now, what's his version? Dirabba bar chana, gihava minsi b'hadi b'bei Reish Galusa, right? He has Rabba bar chana was fighting with the Reish Galusa, as opposed to, right, our Gemara we said was Rabba bar Rav Huna. He has it as Rabba bar chana, which sounds very similar to Rabba Bar Chana, who is in the story with Rav and Rechia. We don't know if Rabba Bar Chana and Rabba Bar Chana are they the same person or not. I don't think we know Adiyom Azeh, but that classical history is not my thing. But you're going to see, if you read this paragraph carefully in the Rivash, he interchanges Rabba Bar Chana and Rabba Bar Chana. So... I'm not sure. I mean, our Gemara had it as, right, Rabbi Chia and his five siblings, right? And one of those siblings was Chana, right? So it seemed like Rabba Bar Chana was the son of Chana. Now, it also was unclear because we thought, well, maybe Chana's a woman, but he called Rabba Bar Chana the son of his brother, implying that Chana was a brother. So all around there's unclear stuff going on with the whole family tree. But it's not just like an academic question that really makes an afkamina for how you understand what the story is over here. There's no version that really fits everything together. Neither Tosos nor the Rivash has a smooth read, but let's see what the Rivash tries to do with it, because the unsmoothness of it is going to jump out. So his version was Rabba bar Chana, Kihava Minsi Bahadi Debe Reish Galusa, right? He had the fight with Reish Galusa. And then, we'll do this fast because we know it. Amar Ana Minaychel and Akitna Rashusa, Ana Kitna Rashusa, Miabamari, Abamari Mirav, Rav, Mirabichia, Rabichia, Miravi, right? He told them, I got permission from that whole food chain, right? So now claim Tosfos, right? This is what we saw Tosfos actually say. Da Alma Shanota Rashus. Oh, what do we see? We see that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi gave permission to Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia gave permission to Rav gave permission to his father, to his student, and his student, who was my father, gave permission to me, right? So it sounds like once you have permission from the Nasi, right, you can give that all the way down the generations. You like how the Rivash says it, right? Yes, some of the Chachamim say this. Who's the Ktsas and the Chachamim? It's Tosfos, right? And apparently everybody else in Ashkenaz. This is what they thought. This is how you thought they read the Gemara. So Rivash says, yeah, you know, some Chachamim, this is the interpretation they give.
But perhaps Tosfos itself means all the... You once mentioned the Rambam, that the Israeli Nasi is Kamei Chachamim. Chachmi, give over. But Malchus, you don't give over, so it's not clear Tosfos means even the Resh Galos.
That's
possible.
Could be. If you assume that maybe.
I'm saying why you would say Ksas. Maybe he means a quantum state in Tosfos. Does he mean? Does he not mean? By the Resh Galus as such?
I don't know. I think I had Fred Spee on the email list, but I don't know if you saw. I sent out an article from Dr. Revel, but basically he
I didn't see it yet.
Okay.
I saw the email at the Revel. I didn't read the.
Okay. So hopefully we'll just get to it at the
I don't want to go back rehash it.
Okay, we'll get to it at the very end. Right. So he says this is impossible. Ha, Lisa. Devadai b'gemara mashma derashusa dekamar rabba bar barchana natlu mi rebi atzmo. Right, he thinks that you have to collapse the generations, and that really, right? Remember, he has it as rabba bar barchana, not as rabba bar afkuna. That really, he got his permission from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi himself, which is exactly how Tosos at the very end said, "Don't read the Gemara that way." Right, so the Rivash is insisting, "Do read the Gemara this way." So the Amrina Hasam. My Rishus, all right, the Gemara asks, what is this Rishus? And then the Gemara answers, Ki hava nachas rabba bar bar chana lebavel, etc. Right? I'm really Rabbi Yechiel, Rabbi ben Achayor lebavel, v'chule. Now, if you just look back at the Gemara for 1 second, you'll see the advantage that the Rivash's read has in the Gemara, which is that there was a really awkward transition according to our Gersa, right? Our Gersa first had the story of rabba bar Rav Huna, fighting with the Resh Galusa, right? And then the Gemara said, right, Milsa de Alma hu de Okim Luhu, right? That he only was giving him empty rhetoric. Remember, the Gemara brought this up in the first place because it wanted to prove that the Nasi does not have authority to give Rishus in Bavel. So the Gemara asked, well, if the Nasi can't give Rishus in Bavel, why is Rabba Bar Rav Huna yelling at the Resh Galusa that I have Rishus going back to Yehuda HaNasi, who was the Nasi? And the Gemara answered, it was empty rhetoric. Really, he knew that he's in the Resh Galusa's turf and he can't fight him. But so then, what's the very next part of the Gemara? It's a very awkward transition. Gemara asks, V'chimei achar delo mahani, Rabba bar chana reshusa denakat lamali. All of a sudden, the Gemara changes to a different story, right? The Gemara should have asked, well, once this reshus is pointless, why did Rabba bar Rav Huna get reshus, right? All of a sudden, our version, Tosfos's version, transitions you to a different story, right? Why did Rabba bar chana in the days of yore get smicha? It's a hard jump. So the advantage that the Rivash has is that he can collapse it. No, really it's all one story, right? Rabba Bar, the Gemara either should be Rabba Bar Barchana, Rabba Barchana. He had to fight the Resh Galusa. And then the Gemara is asking, oh, well, once he, who had his, you know, ineffective fight with the Resh Galusa, well, why did he get that Rishus in the first place? That's the advantage of his read of the Gemara. The disadvantage of his read of the Gemara is that how do you fit in the Rabba, our story of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Hanasi, with what we have Rabba Bar Rav Huna saying. Right? What did Rav Huna, Rabba Bar Rav Huna say? He said, I got Rishus from my father. My father got Rishus from Rav. Rav got Rishus from Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia got Rishus from Rabbi Hanasi. If that story is the same story that we have at the bottom of the Yamud, right, where Rabbi Chia says, hey, Rabbi Hanasi, my nephew Rabba Bar Chana is going to Bavel. Can he paskin? So what are you doing saying my father to Rav, Rabbi Chia? He should have just said, I got Rishus from Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia got Rishus from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Who's his father? What's Rav doing in the mix? The Rivash runs into possibly even bigger trouble. So just either Rishon, just fitting them into the Gemara, clearly there are problems, and those problems determine whether we think that this smicha can be handed down from, once you've got it, you can give it, or not. But so at any rate, that's how the Rivash reads it. Let's just read how he actually, the explanation he gives of the Gemara on the bottom of Hamad Aleph. You'll see what I mean, that it's a little bit rough. Right, so... yeah, so Ritzono Lomar, the third to last line of that paragraph, Vichitema, right, so he quotes, right, what does it mean, right, when Rav Archana said, I got Rishus from my father, etc., etc., Ritzono Lomar, what he means to say is, She'amarti la'aba Mari, right, I said to my father, we still don't really know who his father is, unless his father is Rav Archana, maybe, if maybe his father is Rav Archana, and then Rav Archana's son was Rabba Bar Bar Chana, which would be really weird for a few reasons, but maybe, I don't know. I don't know who Rabba Bar Bar Chana's father is. And by the way, the Rivash has it as Rabba Bar Bar Chana going to Bavel. So it's just an all-around mess. It's really a mess. What can you do? But anyway, so you meant... I asked my father, Shayomar the Rav, Shayomar the Rechiah, Rechiah, Shayomar the Rebbe, Aval Olam, Sarach Shita Rashos Mei Reish Galusa, Omen Hanasi Atzmo. Right, so really the real story that happened was that when the Gemara says Rabbi Chia went to Rabbi Hanasi, the Gemara didn't give the backstory. Rabbi Chia was only going to Rabbi Hanasi because he was asked by Rav, who was asked by Rav's cousin, who was asked by Rav's cousin's son. Okay, could be. V'chein kasav ha-ra'ah, right? The Rivash says, I didn't make up this pshat. This pshat was given by the famous Ra'ah, Rav Aaron Halevi of Barcelona, back in the 150 years ago. So this seems to be the long-standing Sephardi interpretation of the sugya, and if that's the case, then there's no room for any sort of junior smicha. So then the Rivash goes on, we won't read it now, but the Rivash, how does he explain what the Ashkenazi smicha is? He says all Ashkenazi smicha is that you should not paskin without permission from your rebbe, right? That's what the Gemara emphasizes on Heyman Beis, right? Kol ha, you can't. We kind of gloss it over, but Talmud al yore elam kein yak nota rishus me rabo. Talmud should not paskin b'makom rabo. So the whole point he thinks is that the Ashkenazim decided you shouldn't. Paskin without permission from your teacher, and they formalized this as they gave this a formal smicha institution. But all that Ashkenazi, all that quote unquote, because it's not, you shouldn't even call it smicha, right? All that modern smicha is permission to paskin. That's the position of the Rivash. At the end, he kind of mixes it in with something else, and this is what other people focus on, is that maybe it's not only permission to paskin, but it's also a, let's say, a license for quality control, right? That we want to make sure that the proper people are paskining. We don't want the wrong people paskining. We don't want unqualified poskim running around, and therefore we're going to make you, as a gzeira, get permission from your rebbe to paskin, which... seems to fit better with the Gemara and Heyman Beis, with the whole Talmud and the egg. And that clearly seems to be what Maharam Halevi's intent was, right? You got all these people running around who are not qualified, and therefore he's taking charge and saying that you can't paskin without my smicha.
Can you explain his reading of the Gemara again?
Sure. It's going to be... Okay, so let's read the Gemara through the eyes of the Rivash. So we start with, right, so the Gemara had just said that the Nasi cannot give Rishus in Bavel, right, and that's because of Mechokik versus the Sheben. So where we have one line under Ein Mishpat Zion, right, where the Gemara asks, V'ha Rabba Bar of Huna?
Yeah.
Right, so step one is going to be change the text, right, that it should be V'Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Kav Minsi Bahadi Beirish Galusa, Amr Lehu, Minaychu, Kin Rishusa, I really got Rishus, Me Abba Mari, Abba Mari, Me Rav, Rav, Me Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia, Me Rabbi. So I really, when I was hanging out in Eretz Yisrael with my father, who we still don't know who he was, so then I was going to go back to Bavel, I asked my father, who I'm just going to assume for now is Rabba Bar Chana, but I really don't know, I asked my father, who went to his cousin Rav, and Rav went to his cousin Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia went to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Why did they do this so convolutedly? Probably because this is just what the food chain was, right? Rabbi Chia was the second biggest Talmid Chacham, and Rav was the third biggest Talmid Chacham. It's like the Sarei Alafim, the Sarei Meos, and Parshas Yisro, right? So you know, you don't walk straight into Rav Yudanasi yourself. You go to the you know, the Sari Meya, tell him to go to the Sari Alafim, and tell him to go to Rav Yehuda Hanasi. But the bottom line is that even though it happened indirectly, ultimately, Rav Yehuda Hanasi said, I could paskin. You know, you're going to ask, how did I get in with Rav Yehuda Hanasi? I got in through my father to Rav, to Rav Chiya, to Rav Yehuda Hanasi. But really, he directly gave me rishas. right, so that's the big jump you have to make. So if he got rishas from the Nasi, Gemara answers, no, milsa da almahu da okim lahu, right? Empty rhetoric, the Nasi doesn't really have authority in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara asks, v'chim yachad lamahani rabba barachana rishusa denaka lamali, right? So now he's got smooth sailing, right? Well, once rabba barachana, or rabba barachana, I really don't know, but once he, once his rishus was useless in Bavel, why did he get it in the first place? And the answer was, Ayaras Omdun ala Gulin, right? He only got it for the border towns, right? Even though in Bavel he couldn't use it, he could use it in the towns that are in Syria right on the border with Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara asks, okay, now I know why Rabbi Bar Chana wanted to get Rishus, just so he could judge on the border towns, but my Rishusa, what was the Rishus that he got from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? And then the Gemara goes on and tells you the whole story of Rabbi Bar Chana. Right, so that's the Rivash. She collapses the stories, and that gives you a problem in the first half. It makes things smoother in the second half. Tosos, it's smooth in the beginning. Then you just have the question of what's that transition, right, from talking about Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and all of a sudden the Gemara asks, right, V'chi me'achar d'lo mahani Rabba Bar Chana reshusa d'nakat lamali. So the Rivash, that's great. For Tosos, that's really random.
But just going back one step.
Yeah, in other words, however you put it, there's an awkward transition in the Gemara.
It feels like it's that awkward.
According to whom?
According to Tosos. Not according to not Rav Ashi.
Because it's just Rabbi Bar Chana is right before that, so let me just go back to him. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, could be, but like, Rabbi Bar Chana Mandekar Shmei, like, who mentioned... Gemara says, oh, Rabba Bar Rav Huna's smicha is useless. The natural follow-up question is, well, if Rabba Bar Rav Huna's smicha is useless, why on earth did he get it? Instead, the Gemara asks, if Rabba Bar Rav Huna's smicha was useless, then why three generations prior did Rabba Bar Bar Chana get it? So you're right, like, historically, I understand. Like, Tosafot say we're just going to the root, but it still is, like, kind of a strange transition. You know, you want to say that Tosis's read of the Gemara is easier than the Rebush's? I think you're right, probably. It's probably a smoother read.
But it would make sense if the Rebush's Girsa actually said Rav
Kana. Right, yeah, at the end of the...
Huna look like the same. I don't know, I could lose the
buzz. Yeah, 1,000%, especially if... Right, we saw... That's a great point. Yeah. And we saw Tosos said Tosos didn't have... Rabba Bar Rav Huna, they had Rabba Bar Huna, right? Mm-hmm. So you could very easily say that, well, once it's Rabba Bar Huna, so it should have just been Rabba Bar Chana,
yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, someone got confused, and they stuck in a Vav, and the Aleph and the Hay are kind of interchangeable,
yeah.
So you could totally see this Girsa getting confused. But it's a shame, because like 90, like Rava and Rabba, right? You know, all the time, the Gemara says, Rava said something, and then, like, on the margin, they'll say, well, if you look at the generations, it makes no sense. It must be it's Rabba. Like, who cares? At the end of the day, right, it doesn't really matter. But
in stories like this, it's sort of...
In stories like this, yeah, it's huge. Exactly. That's, like, the 2% of cases. Okay, so then just, the couple other sources that I have here. So the Ramah, he mentions the Rivash. The Ramah, his Sock is just interesting. You see really through the Ramah what Maram Halevi was all about. Because he quotes this Maharil Kohen and he quotes the Maharivayel who say that if you don't have this Morenu Smicha, your Gittin are worthless. If you read the Maharivayel, it's a crazy case. Apparently there was this guy who was a total like disaster of a person who's like utterly, you could tell he's on, like, you're wondering. The Maharivayel writes these two tshuvas about this person. He says this person's a total disaster. He's writing Gittin, but he has no idea what he's doing. He didn't get smicha from anybody, and anything he says is totally pasul. And you're like, wow, like really, just because he's like, you know, maybe he's not like the biggest Talmid Chacham. But at the end of the end, Mari Vail says, and like not only is he a total Rasha, but he's ignoring Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom and he has multiple wives in the 1400s, which is totally not acceptable. So you had people who like were completely completely inappropriate to be doing things, but they were setting up shop. So the Mari Vail says, if you don't have the Morenu title, your get is going to be worthless, right? You have to have the license in order to do this. And then the Rama quotes the Rivash, who says that no, right? You don't have to have a Morenu, right? All that you know, modern smicha is permission to paskin, but it doesn't invoke you with any personal status whatsoever. And the Rama says, right, b'makom igon yesh lahakel, right, that if so, Rama, you know, as usual, he's very sensitive to minhag Ashkenaz. One line later, he says, min hagan shal yisrael Torah kin, right, the minhag of Ashkenaz has to be deeply respected, and basically, you know, we would like to only allow the people with the formal title to give the get. But like, if you've got an aguna situation, so then we'll be makel for the position of the rivash, right? And you see the last line of the Rama, what allows him to say this is he thinks that the rivash's lumdus really is correct, right? He says, "Va'od nirali shemutr lasis morenu la'achad sheyasader gittin ve'afal pi shemidin smicha shemirishanim lohevi dina hachi." Nowadays, smicha really only is getting permission to paskin, and therefore, right, in emergency situations, we will allow the get to go through, even though the person who wrote it didn't have the Morenu title. All right, this Tzitz Eliezer that I quoted, he has a long piece on modern smicha versus ancient smicha. At the very end, he assumes that modern smicha is a license to make sure that you have competent people, right? So just to wrap up the three positions you have at the end of the day, the position of Tosfos seems to be that modern smicha is a kol d'tikun d'araisa, kol d'tikun rabbanuk in d'araisa tikun, modeled off of real ancient smicha, and one nafkamina you're going to have is that it's a personal status, and anybody who has it can give it over. The position of the rivash himself is that modern smicha only is permission to paskin, so that it's right. You can't paskin without permission from your rebbe. It's a embarrassment to your rebbe. Nafkamina, by the way, the rivash says once your rebbe is no longer alive, you don't need rishus from him to paskin, right? You may have never gotten smicha, but if you're competent and the rebbe's no longer alive, so why can't you paskin, right? There's no affront to your rebbe. The rebbe's not alive anymore. And then the third idea, which seems to be, it's a little bit funny fit into the Gemara. The third idea is that the modern smicha is a takana to ensure quality control of poskin, right? Which explains the Talmud story, right? And that's the position that the Rama in the Haggah seems to take, and that's the position that the Tzitz Eliezer comes to. Fine. So those are kind of your three positions. So just two things to get on the record. So number one, the Or Sameach, you know, see inside, the Or Sameach is aware of the Gersa problem, right? The Or Sameach says that the Rivash has this big problem because what's he going to, right, our Gersa of the Gemara, that it's not Rabba Bar Bar Chana, it's Rabba Bar Rav Huna, totally implies that Tosos are absolutely, absolutely correct, right? So he thinks that, and he thinks that this is the correct Gersa, because why would Rabba Bar Chana talk about his father, right? Who's the mystery father that Rabba Bar Chana is talking about? We don't know who that is. If the mystery father, if it's Rabba Bar Rav Huna, then, oh, the mystery father is Rav Huna, who's one of the most famous students of Rab. That line for Tosos is exceptionally smooth. So the Or Sameach says, if you look at it, Tosfos read seems to be correct. And the last point was, I don't know if you got to read any of the article by Dr. Revel.
Which email was that in?
Yeah.
That was, it was an email where I sent the sources for this past year. It was an attachment in there, a PDF. So I don't know where the field is holding at all on this, but I found the tshuva because the Tzitz Eliezer quoted it. It's Etzel Yezer right before. This is a really long tshuva. It's got like four halakim, and what I gave you is chelek beitz, right? No, it's the conclusion to the tshuva. In part four, chelek aleph, where he talks about the end of real smicha, he says, right, and smicha ended around 500, around the time of Hillel Hasheni. So he says there's this article by somebody in a journal called Hachorev, which claims that it ended much later. But like that goes against the Rishonim, and therefore we don't have to listen to it. So I was like, oh, I wonder who this is. So they're all in Hebrew books, you find it. And I was like, oh, hey, it's Dr. Revel, 1939. So he goes through like a lot of stuff that was coming out of the Geniza, a lot of stuff from the Gaonim that they had, from the Reish Galusas that they had. And he makes an argument there that Smicha lasted in Israel until, he thinks, around the mid-1000s. At that point, just things kind of fell apart in Israel. But that it really lasted much longer than we usually think. Which is interesting, because then the Rambam, who talks about renewing Smicha, so the Rambam was talking about this only 100 years after it fell apart. So if what he's saying is true, so just in and of itself, that's fascinating. I don't know where we're standing. But then he speculates, and it seems like very possible. The historians always talk about, like, the Sephardim coming originally from Bavel, and the Ashkenazim originally coming from Palestine, right? And so the most prominent example is Pia, right? That all these Piyutim that they say in Ashkenaz, a lot of them have their roots, you could see from the Geniza, have their roots in Palestine, right? They go from Palestine to Italy to Ashkenaz. Chaim Soloveitchik just came out with this whole long theory about how the halachic stuff really came from Bavel, right? That there was this other migration from Bavel that showed up in Ashkenaz. But there is no question, everybody agrees that there was a major Eretz Yisrael tradition in Ashkenaz. So Dr. Revel suggests that maybe the Ashkenazi institution of Smicha was because when they left Eretz Yisrael in the 900s, Smicha was still going on. So that it wouldn't be so crazy for them to have like a junior smicha, right? We're in chutz laretz now, so we can't give real smicha anymore. But let's do something modeled off of real smicha. That's the suggestion that Dr. Revel makes in the article. Again, where the field has gone from 1939 to 2016, I don't know. But I just thought that was
really cool. What language did he write the article in?
It's in, I think it's in Hebrew. Yeah, right. It's in Hebrew.
Yeah, I don't think he's
that good. I didn't. Mm-mm. All right, I'll. I'm sorry. I'll do it again. Yeah, for sure.